नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा संबुद्धस्स। हेलो, दिस इज लाल फ्रॉम purdhamma.net। टुडे वी विल टॉक अबाउट व्हाट समाधि इज एंड हाउ वी गेट टू सम्मा समाधि। द वर्ड समाधि कम्स फ्रॉम सम एंड अधि, वेयर सम मीन्स द सेम and adhi means dominance. So samadhi means the object of interest becomes the priority and the mind gets focused in it. This is described in detail in the post What is Samadhi? Three kinds of mindfulness. And this is the first link given in this post. You can read more details there. So therefore, there are infinite number of samadhi or of different types. For example, a surgeon doing an extremely complicated surgery really gets into it. He or she can be fully engaged in that operation for many hours without even taking a break. Or a scientist thinking about a new concept would lose any sense of the outside world for hours at a time while thinking about it. Even a master thief planning a grand robbery will get into a Michha Samadhi and will make very methodical plans for that robbery. Or a student who is really comprehending a new concept being explained by a good teacher is also likely to be in samadhi as well. So there are an infinite number of possible samadhi of different types. Another simple visualization of a samadhi is to think about someone who is fully absorbed in what he or she is doing. Another example is someone reading a good book who becomes unaware of what is going on around him or her. Of course, when we see a samadhi statue of a Buddha, we can see that he is fully absorbed in samadhi, even without moving. In all these cases, whether it's a good samadhi or a bad samadhi or a neutral samadhi, there is one thing in common. The person is fully occupied in whatever he or she is engaged in. The mind is totally absorbed in it. Another important thing is that one cannot get to any given samadhi within a short period of time. Depending on the samadhi, it could take years to set up the necessary conditions. For example, to get into the samadhi of a good neurosurgeon, one has to spend many years in practice, even after getting the medical degree. Even a master thief will become better with practice. So it is a mistake to assume that one can just sit down and get to samadhi by doing breath meditation. On the other hand, one can go to a meditation retreat and spend a week or two there and attain a temporary samadhi over those days, several days. Now, in the previous post, it was pointed out how seven factors in the Eightfold Path are none other than Sobhana Chaitasika. When we began this series, we discussed how Asobhana Chaitasika, or immoral mental factors, in thoughts are the key reason why our minds are subjected to fire or heat or tapa in Pali. And how Sobhana Chaitasika, or good moral mental factors, lead to the opposite effect. They cool down thoughts. Furthermore, Sobhana and Asobhana Chaitasika do not arise simultaneously in a thought, as we saw. Just like water and oil cannot exist together and they automatically separate, Sobhana Chaitasika and Asobhana Chaitasika cannot stay together in a single thought. They do not arise in a single thought. It is one or the other kind. Therefore, if we deliberately follow the path, our minds will be mostly occupied by Sobhana Chaitasika, and therefore we will have a state of calmness and peace with us. As we follow the path, our whole state of mind will gradually change, and we will move towards Samma Samadhi. So Samadhi is an overall state of the mind, not just one or two things. It is a cumulative result. Therefore, those main seven Chaitasika, that are the first seven factors in the Noble Eightfold Path, move us towards the eighth factor in the path, which is Samma Samadhi. Please go back and read that post after this discussion, and it will become much more clear. The post I published last week, entitled Noble Eightfold Path, Role of Sobhana Chaitasika. So today we will talk about this eighth factor, or the Samma Samadhi. The fire or heat in our thoughts is high when we do immoral things due to greed and hate. Even extreme greed and hate, while not labeled as immoral, can also lead to an unsatisfied mindset. The need to do something all the time, or the feeling that something is missing from life, things like that. Those kind of thoughts result from cravings or from kamaraga. Most of us cannot stay in one place. We just need to do something, and the mind is not, it doesn't feel like it's fulfilled. There are many enjoyable things out there in the world, so the mind says, go and do something, do some pleasurable things. So this is what is nagging our minds all the time. This tendency of the mind to be agitated will be reduced when we stay on the path. We will slowly get into a state of mindset that is calm and peaceful. We will be satisfied with less sense pleasures, not more. This is the first stage of Samma Samadhi. It is not a single Sobhana Chaitasika. Rather, it is the result of the cultivation of all Sobhana Chaitasika, including the main seven that are in the Noble Eightfold Path. Now, in Buddha Dhamma, there are two types of good Samadhi or Samma Samadhi. A given person first gets to mundane Samma Samadhi by following the mundane Noble Eightfold Path. This can be also called Niramisa Sukha in its early stages. As the Niramisa Sukha and the mundane Samma Samadhi grows, one will be able to keep the mind on Dhamma concepts for longer and longer. At some point, one will be able to start comprehending the Tilakkhana, or the three characteristics of nature, and then one transitions to the transcendental or the Lokottara Samma Samadhi. Of course, there is Miccha Samadhi too, like that of the master thief that we mentioned earlier. The three types of Samadhi are discussed in the post What is Samadhi? Three kinds of mindfulness and three kinds of Ditti, Eightfold Paths and Samadhi. I will give the that will be the second link in this post. Either kind of Samma Samadhi cannot be attained without changing one's behavior. This is why the sequence Sila, Samadhi, Panya. It is important to lead a moral life, which is called Sila, in order to be able to get to either the mundane or the Arya Samma Samadhi. We remember that Kusala comes from the prefix ku for defilements or immoral things, and sala means getting rid of those things. So Kusala means getting rid of immoral things. Therefore, kusala sila means the way of life compatible with getting rid of immoral things and thoughts. Now, sila, the word sila comes from si means cold and laya means heart. Therefore, sila or moral conduct itself leads to cooling down, which is the same as sama plus adhi, or moving towards sama, which is cooling down, or nibbana in this case, in the case of samma samadhi. Therefore, kusala sila leads to cooling down. On the other hand, moving towards miccha samadhi is also called dusil in Pali or dusila in Sinhala. We remember that the prefix du means bad. So living an immoral life or engaging in immoral actions by the body, speech or the mind will lead to miccha samadhi. In extreme cases, such miccha samadhi can also lead to an apparent calming down. For example, we have read about people who murder many people while maintaining a calm composure. They are really absorbed in miccha samadhi. Of course, one cannot get to jhana or meditative states with miccha samadhi. Miccha samadhi or leaning to immorality arises due to miccha ditti or wrong visions about this world. If one does not believe that bad actions necessarily lead to bad results, in other words, kamma do not have kamma vipaka, then at least in highly tempting situations, one is likely to carry out an immoral act in order to gain access to a material object that one values very highly. This is why miccha ditti is so important to comprehend. Just like samma ditti leads to samma vacha, samma kammanta, samma ajiva, miccha ditti will lead to miccha sankappa, miccha vacha, and miccha kammanta and miccha ajiva. In English, wrong vision about this world will automatically lead to immoral thoughts, immoral speech, immoral deeds, and an immoral way of life. We talked about how immoral thoughts arise automatically in a defiled mind. It is described in the post how kilesa or asobana chaitasika are incorporated into our thoughts. But when one is being mindful, one could make sure to counter any immoral thoughts by stopping them willfully and generating moral thoughts. So this is another name for samma sankappa or samma sankalpa. Sankappa or sankalpa are thoughts that one willfully generates in one's mind without saying out loud. As we discussed in the previous desanas, these are called vachi sankhara. They are willful, not like mano sankhara, which are automatic. These vachi sankhara are willful, but they do not entail moving body parts. We don't even have to move our lips or tongue to get the speech out. It's all in one's mind, but it's all willful, done with conscious thoughts. So one really needs to comprehend the difference between mano sankhara, which are automatic and arise due to our inherent gati, and the vachi sankhara, which we have control over. So this is why samma sankappa comes before samma vacha and samma kammanta. Before we speak or do something, we think about it. One needs to think about what to say and what to do first, instead of just going with whatever comes to the mind. So it is always good to pause and think when one gets an urge to do or say something on an impulse. Therefore, instead of just automatically letting those initial thoughts to lead to immoral speech or immoral actions, which are called miccha vacha and miccha kammanta, one can correct oneself to engage in samma sankappa first, leading to samma vacha and samma kammanta. This is a critical point to think about. That is how one practices satipatthana or anapana, as we discussed before. This will not only lead to a moral life that is conducive to a peaceful mind with less stress, but also will lead to another important effect. One's panya or one's wisdom will grow. Note that panya is spelled P-A-N-N-A. It is pronounced panya. Now the brain will rewire to accommodate the new way of carefully examining the situation before acting. The more you practice sammasankappa, the brain will adjust itself. It will rewire itself. This is also discussed in another post, and I will give the reference to that too. So engaging willfully in samma sankappa will gradually lead to samma samadhi or a calm state of mind and will help reduce pancha nivarana that we also talked about. This means one will be able to grasp more deeper concepts on Dhamma and also will slowly start removing miccha ditti. One will realize that cause and effect must be true. This is another way of saying that kamma lead to kamma vipaka, that things do not and cannot happen without causes, which also means that one's actions, speech and thoughts will have effects. This is why one needs to be careful about one's actions, speech, and also thoughts. Now, if we think about samma sankalpa, samma vacha, samma kammanta, samma vayama, and samma ajiva, these are what defines a moral life or sila. It is important to make this connection. With practice, samma sati, or being mindful about the consequences, will become part of sila or moral conduct. It will be automatically employed before action or speech. This is an important point and is the whole basis of satipatthana and anapanasati bhavana. Now these factors of sila will lead to samma samadhi, and samadhi in turn will calm down the mind, reduce pancha nivarana, and will help comprehend Dhamma concepts. This will in turn lead to sammaditti by getting rid of wrong visions or wrong perceptions about the world. This means cultivating one's panya or wisdom. Now we can see how the Eightfold Path encompasses sila, samadhi and panya. Therefore, we can say that sila leads to panya via samadhi. This is an important point. With enhanced panya, one will be engaged in more sila with knowledge and will get into samadhi easily. So the whole process becomes a loop. It keeps on improving all three factors of sila, samadhi and panya. So in other words, panya or wisdom will make one a more moral person. When one sees the benefits of this process, one will make an extra effort to be mindful and to correct any mistakes. This is samma vayama or correct effort. This will enhance one's mindfulness, which is samma sati. One will be doing satipatthana and anapana, leading to samma sati, which in turn will lead to more samma samadhi. So we can see that the mundane Eightfold Path is automatically followed when one starts a moral life and try to be mindful of immoral thoughts that arise due to one's immoral gati. When one follows this path, one's immoral gati will be reduced and moral gati will grow with time. However, it is also essential to keep learning Dhamma concepts that will help getting rid of remaining micchaditti. This whole process is slow in the beginning but will pick up steam with time. This is because it is a self-enhancing process that accelerates with time. For example, it is hard to push a stalled car initially, but once the car starts moving, it becomes easier. This process is like that too. When one cultivates mundane samma samadhi, panya or wisdom will grow to the extent that one will be able to grasp the three characteristics of nature, anicca, dukkha, anatta. Then one will start cultivating the arya samma samadhi, leading to higher levels of panya. So it is a step-by-step process. In the first desana in this series, entitled Starting on the Path Even Without Belief in Rebirth, I discuss two types of suffering. The first type of suffering is the incessant distress of the mind experienced in this life. And the second type of suffering is associated with the rebirth process, when one is reborn in the upayas or the four lowest realms. Here we are only focusing on the first type of suffering. The key to release from this first type of suffering is to get to mundane samma samadhi and to temporarily suppress this incessant distress, which sometimes can lead even to depression. Now, there is a second benefit from this, the release of this first type of suffering. When one gets to mundane samma samadhi, one can not only experience the niramisa sukha or the cooling down, one will also be able to comprehend deeper dhamma concepts. In particular, one could be able to comprehend the three characteristics of nature. That will lead to the release from the second type of suffering associated with the rebirth process. So we will address that issue later. Also, we will see later in this series that jhana or dhyana in Sinhala is a deeper state of samadhi. One could get into anarya jhanas even while cultivating the mundane samma samadhi. But arya jhanas are possible only after attaining the sotapanna stage. That means after comprehending anicca, dukkha, anatta to some extent. Another characteristic of samadhi is that it is hard to get into samadhi if there are disturbances in the surroundings. Regardless of the nature of samadhi, one's mind should be free of other distractions. A scientist or even a master thief cannot concentrate in a noisy environment with distractions. It is actually easier for someone to get into Michcha Samadhi, to engage in activities involving sense pleasures, because one's mind is automatically attracted to such things. For example, if someone is reading an absorbing novel, he or she could be able to overcome the background noise. We have seen people reading books in a bus or in a train and forgetting to get off the right stop because they were absorbed in the book despite the noises around them. In the beginning of the process in cultivating Samma Samadhi, we need to pay special attention in catching our automatic reactions to a sense event, as we have been discussing so far. With time, it will become easier. When one lives one's life mindfully, one will start seeing major improvements in one's life, in all aspects, not only in the spiritual practice. One will be able to make rational decisions handling family life, social life, and even one's job. However, initially, Samma Samadhi needs to be cultivated with care. So, cultivating Samma Samadhi is best to be compared with taking care of a tiny plant, which initially can be eaten by even the smallest insect just after it's germinated. Even when it is a bit grown, it can be pulled out with just two fingers. And it may die if somebody does not provide water and nutrients and protect it from animals or birds. However, with proper care, it can grow to be a mighty tree. For example, once an oak tree is grown, starting from a tiny seed, it cannot be taken down even by an elephant. So Samma Samadhi is like that too. It is easy to be disturbed initially. With Pancha Nivarana covering our minds, it is difficult to even keep the mind on a given thought object, even for a few minutes. But one can break this by listening to Dhamma or reading Dhamma, which will lead to Tadanga Pahana, or lifting the Pancha Nivarana for a short time. When one keeps doing this, the mind will be able to stay focused for longer times, eventually for hours and days. We call this Vikambana Pahana, or suppressing the Pancha Nivarana for longer times. Eventually, one day, Pancha Nivarana will be lifted permanently when one attains the Sotapanna stage. You may want to re-listen to that desana in the post suffering in this life, role of mental impurities. Arya Samadhi can be thought of as that mighty oak tree. It cannot be disturbed by any outside disturbance. As I mentioned above, sila or moral conduct is a requirement for Samma Samadhi, even mundane Samma Samadhi. So moral conduct can be compared to taking care of that tiny plant and providing it with nutrients. Moral conduct means staying away from those dasa akusala as much as possible. But it is important not to get discouraged if one makes mistakes. The key is to reduce such mistakes with time. The Buddha actually compared cultivating samadhi to cultivating a field. He said one cannot get a good harvest by wishing for a good harvest or making offerings to the gods. One needs to provide water and nutrients and provide protection from insects and birds and keep out the weeds. In the same way, one needs to cultivate Samma Samadhi by providing right conditions and keeping the defilements away. Here, right conditions can involve many things, including one's health as well as one's friends. A peace of mind requires compatible external conditions in addition to the right mindset. For example, if one has friends who are heavily into immoral actions, it is hard not to be influenced by them. If one lives in a bad environment, it is hard not to be worried about one's safety. If one is overweight, it is hard to avoid health problems and to lose precious time. Now, some things like the neighborhood that one lives in is hard to change quickly, but one can get rid of bad friends and try to live healthy, starting right away. One needs to always keep the mind focused on avoiding problems. When planning even a trip to the grocery store, one could make a list ahead of the time and avoid a return trip to buy the items that one forgot to buy in the first place. That is a waste of time and also adds stress. When one is making a long trip, one needs to make plans and try to get there before dark, because if one gets lost, that is a lot of stress and it could lead to a dangerous situation too. We have two daughters, and the first thing we taught them was to plan everything ahead of the time. Don't be at the wrong place at the wrong time. Many young people get into trouble by being at the wrong place at the wrong time. The obvious example is going to a bad neighborhood at night. That is really asking for trouble. So there are many common sense things that one could do to minimize the waste of time as well as to avoid stress. So to state the key point of this desana, attaining samadhi is a planned long-term process. One needs to set up the right environment and also the right mindset. Both these could take time. Finally, we also need to talk a bit about a special case of Samma Samadhi, which is doing a formal meditation session. One could assign a quiet room to do formal meditation at a quiet time. Such a formal meditation session can be used for several purposes. One is to train in mindfulness. When one sits down and just let thoughts come to the mind, some of those will be good thoughts and some will be bad. So one can practice stopping those bad ones and to contemplate on the good ones. So this is formal Anapanasati Bhavana. The second advantage or the second application is to review how one did during the past couple of days. One could review what happened during those days and recall when one was able or not able to maintain mindfulness. That is done not to get upset about such mistakes, but to figure out how to avoid such mistakes. Third application could be to review a Dhamma concept. One could take a printout and read through again if one forgot something, or one could re-listen to a desana to clarify a certain point and then to contemplate on it. And another important fourth point is to gauge one's progress over time. But we need to remember that change will not happen in a day or two. It could take weeks or months to see significant change. Of course, it is totally depends on the person and the effort one makes. When one starts seeing some progress, one could contemplate on the sense of relief that one has gained. Actually, that is how one gets to jhanas. We will talk about this later in detail. Even in a formal meditation session, one needs to set up the right environment and have the right mindset. Here, right environment is a quiet place, and the right mindset is an unexcited mind without any pressing issues that could lead to deviation of attention. When one is able to extend the duration of such a formal meditation session, one will gain confidence. But it is critical to realize that sila or moral conduct during the whole day is an essential part in getting to Samma Samadhi. Formal sessions are not enough. May the blessings of the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha be with you always.